Is your sales team reaching its full potential? Enhance referral growth, create strategic partnerships, and advance your professional development. Join us for our healthcare sales certification workshop in San Diego, California, July 12th through the 14th. Our workshop focuses on improving your sales techniques and teaching your repeatable process to increase referrals. Earn your valuable certified healthcare sales professional credential and register today at cfe.chapinc.org.
Greetings, I'm Jennifer Kennedy, the lead for quality at CHAP, and welcome to this month's ChAPcast. I have the pleasure to speak with Nicole McCann-Davis this month about health equity. And I'm going to ask Nicole to tell a little bit about herself, what she's doing right now, and then we'll go ahead and get into the meat of what the podcast is for this month. So Nicole, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm so excited to be here to really dive into the meat that we will be discussing today. As you mentioned, I'm Nicole McCann-Davis. I have worked in hospice for almost 7 years. Such a privilege and such an honor. And during that time, my role was really focused on health equity and access and really making sure that we're reaching every patient possible. But now I've transitioned into a new role as Director of Strategic Planning for the InTouch Group. And really, my focus continues to be the same of increasing access, increasing care when it comes to pharmaceuticals specifically, and making sure that pharmaceutical companies are taking into consideration who is suffering from certain disease states and how can we make sure that we are reaching every patient that actually could benefit from all of the resources that are out there for them. And so that's what I'm doing now, in addition to continuing to work with NHPCF.
So, Nicole, I met you when I was working with the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and I know you were undertaking some important work there. Are you still doing that work with NHPCO?
I am. I continue to chair, even though I'm not working in hospice, I still continue to chair the Diversity Advisory Council for NHPCO. And it's actually a really exciting time to be working at NHPCO doing that work with the Diversity Advisory Council, because we just finished a really important research project, getting some extremely great data, really based off of the disparities that exist in hospice and palliative care. We focused primarily on the Black and African American populations, the Hispanic population, and the LGBTQ+ population as well, specifically the transgender population, because there's not a lot of research out there,
no,
like quantitative and qualitative research that focuses on that population. And so I'm just pumped to now have all of this data, and the Diversity Advisory Council has big plans as we figure out what do we want to do now that we have all this great information. How can we use it to make sure that we're using it in a way that makes the greatest impact and is the most helpful for all hospice organizations?
Wow. Thanks for doing that work. And whatever you decide to do with it as a council, I'm sure it's going to be moving quality forward in all instances. So thank you for being on the ChAPcast. And I wanted to start out with talking about CMS. And they have recently outlined their strategy to advance health equity. And they posted their framework for health equity in the past month. Specifically, they introduced it at their CMS quality conference that was held virtually in April. So I wanted to get your feelings and your thoughts about how do you see this framework and this strategy impacting providers? Obviously, because I love quality, from a quality standpoint, but also maybe from a payment standpoint.
Well, first of all, you know, seeing the shift in CMS over the past few years to really focusing on health equity is such a breath of fresh air.
Right.
You know, we know that CMS is all about making sure that people have access to the care. However, they are really like laser focused on health equity right now. And I personally, and I know that there are many others, when I talk to them, we're looking at this as a great opportunity. And so when we talk about quality when it comes to CMS and everything that they have outlined with their strategy, and then our hospice and home health providers as well. This really is an opportunity to say, what more can we be doing? And we know that everyone is swamped. Everyone has so much going on. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there are so few people and so many people that we need to serve. And so I totally understand that. However, what these models do is really provide CMS, what CMS is saying is, hey, here are some bulleted items that you need to do. They're really helping you with that guidance. I strongly believe that hospice organizations want to be able to serve all patients and families, that they want to be able to provide a high quality end of life experience. Sometimes you just don't know where to start when it comes to those who are traditionally underserved. And so by CMS saying, here, we're going to outline some very specific items that you need to do to provide you an overview, and then you take it and develop the tactics yourself that help to really meet these goals, then it all is feeding into the quality piece. And so, for example, if we looked at the ACO REACH model that CMS has been talking about, they're really trying to streamline person-centered care, which is what we're all in the business of, right? Is making sure that how do we ensure that our patients and families, especially with hospice care, it's so personal. And CMS is really saying, hey, let's keep health equity at top of mind as you are developing your plans, as you are developing your plan of care for your patients, as you are working with your teams, how are we making sure that health equity is at top of mind? And so when you looked at the new policies that they are developing in order to address diversity, equity, and inclusion elements, it's everything from health equity planning to benchmark adjustments, and it all is really created with quality in mind. And so it's about measuring what it is that we're doing. I know there are many organizations out there that do have efforts in place when it comes to health equity and access, but they just don't know how to measure it in a way that really helps to show them internally that they are actually making progress when it comes to the quality of care that they are providing to a diverse patient population. And so, sorry, that was a very long-winded answer.
No, but really jam-packed with great information. I mean, you're absolutely spot on that I think that's, first of all, unfortunately, it took a pandemic for CMS to sort of wake up and smell the coffee to look at laser-focused data, as you say, to say, oh my gosh, we have a huge problem here. And I am happy that they didn't say, oh, we're going to look at this some more. They immediately hopped on it and started strategizing about how they were going to do their improvement. So I, for me, I'm really, really happy about that. But sorry that it took a pandemic to sort of shine the light on that this is a huge issue,
Absolutely. And especially knowing that what's unfortunate about that as well is that these aren't new issues. If we really went back and looked at the data for decades and decades for the past century, we know that health disparities have existed in a variety of ways. But at the end of the day, it did take a pandemic. We're going to take that as a silver lining of the pandemic, that it has shown it's shining a light on a very important topic. And so we have different organizations are going to have to really take a look at not only increasing, how are we serving and increasing access to those who are traditionally underserved, but also making sure that they are receiving a high quality end of life experience, because that too is so very important. We want to make sure that there are not disparities that exist in the type of care, in the quality of care that people are receiving, and that each individual is feeling truly cared for by their team, right? Because we know that that's something that is so important, especially during the end of life experience for family members and for the patient. And so essentially what CMS is saying is, hey, we are going to make sure that we are holding you accountable, that you're holding yourselves accountable for improving health equity and improving that quality. And there are some who are motivated to do that by knowing that it is the right thing to do and that it is just something that they should be doing. It makes the most sense as a part of your business model as a hospice organization. However, there are others who, may say, it's not always at the top of my list because there are so many things going on, so I can't always prioritize it. And it's easier to prioritize sometimes when you know that it will essentially end up impacting your payment and whether or not you receive payment for services and how much that is, based off of these measurements of quality for reaching those who are traditionally underserved.
Right. And you said a really interesting or a phrase that I caught on to there is it's the right thing to do. I think that all providers should have had 2 feet in the ground in looking at health equity for years and years, but we see CMS make a strategy, make a framework, and knowing how CMS operates, we're most likely expecting either a measure or a regulation somewhere in the future, right? For all provider types. And this strategy is applicable to all provider types under the Medicare umbrella. I'm concerned that providers are going to see health equity requirements as like a checkbox kind of item. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be something that is part of their strategy as an organization, part of their plugging into their community to fully serve their community. How do we elevate the importance of health equity to providers right now so that they don't expect this as like, oh God, this is another thing we have to do, right? Like a checkbox kind of item, because I believe it really is a huge part of what the quality proposition is for any provider type, particularly at end of life, as you mentioned. But how do we elevate that importance to home health, to hospice, to hospitals, etc.?
Well, so I really do believe that you don't start to work in home health and hospice if you don't have the heart for people. It's not an easy space to work in, no matter what your role is within an organization. No one gets into it to say, you know what, I only want to serve this small group of people. Instead, it really truly is, I want to be able to support a great deal of people and make sure that they have a good life experience and a high quality life experience. But sometimes other factors, may become barriers and create challenges for us being able to do everything to the level that we always want to, right? And so when we talk about elevating the importance of health equity, it's really getting back to why are you doing this work in the first place? And making sure that people, you have to speak to the heart. You have to speak to the heart, but you also there are some people who respond very well to stories and respond well to seeing the faces of people who are dying without hospice care, people whose families are struggling, not knowing that there are home health options to help them when they need that additional assistance. But then you have others who respond to data. There are data minded people. I tend to toe the line between both, but and so when we talk about recognizing or elevating the importance of health equity for providers, sometimes people need to see the numbers and see the data in order to see that, hey, if 1.5 million people are utilizing the Medicare hospice benefit and 82% of them identify as white, then what's going on with the rest of them? Right. And also looking at the business, I mean, really, it makes the most business sense because what that is telling me, if I went by that, by those numbers, is that there are a ton of people who are dying without care and could utilize additional benefits. There are a ton of people who are not utilizing home health and could benefit from those services as well. We are in a country where our society is evolving. The cultural makeup of our country is evolving. And so if, what is it, approximately 40% of the United States population is comprised of multicultural people. But when we think about who hospice organizations in particular are typically marketing to, it's not those 40%,
Not at
you
all.
know. And a big part of that is that we do what's comfortable to us. If you're trying to grow your census, if you're trying to make sure that you have patients that our staff can see, you know, we fall back to what's comfortable to us. We're going to go to this facility, you know, we go where we know. And we're missing out on people because they may not be, their source of information may not be where we typically go. And
Exactly.
so it's important that we're stepping outside of our comfort zones as an industry in general and figuring out how are we truly going to meet our patients where they are? Because there are patients who need us that we're not that we don't have access to right now, and they don't have access to us. And so it just makes the most business sense to prioritize health equity because we know that there are scores of people who are not having access to the care that they need. But also, when it comes to the heart, when it comes to who we are at our core and why we work in this industry and have for so many years, it's because we truly want to serve.
Absolutely. You know, and every person in a community really should have the equal opportunity to those services. You know, particularly for you and I who have been seated in hospice for a long time, you know, I think everyone should be able to have their whatever they decide or want as their optimal dying experience. So, you know, I think it's something that, as you said, we have to work on as an industry in a larger healthcare continuum. So let me ask you this, Nicole. What can organizations do to close the gaps that meet every patient where they are, as you say?
Oh boy, there's so much. And that's the thing is, in order to close the gaps, it really does have to be health equity has to be a goal of every department. It has to be intertwined in the strategic plan of the overall organization. It can't just be one person or one department that's responsible for it. And so if we're really going to try to make moves here and move that needle and start to improve access and quality for historically marginalized populations, then what we have to do is make sure that everybody is involved, you know. And I say that because, A, we don't know that who has a voice and who has a passion for it and who has great ideas. And
Right.
so we don't want to just silo the efforts. But also, it helps to have that buy-in from everyone so that then they're committed to it as well, not saying, oh, well, that's just over there. I don't have to deal with it. And so, whether that is our HR departments and recruiting teams and hospice organizations and home health organizations, really putting forth an effort to make sure that they are hiring
Yes.
diverse staff, and not just those who are at the bedside, but leaders as well.
Exactly.
And that's something that with the ACO REACH model, they really speak to, you know, who's on your board. They're looking at who's on your board, who are the leaders within each healthcare organization, whether it's hospice or home health, to make sure that there is some diversity there. And by having that diversity within leadership teams specifically, it only helps for those who are on the front line at the bedside. It helps with that retention. You know, when they see someone who is a vice president, who is a chief, and can say, you know what, that can be me one day, you know, or I have someone who looks like me that is in a decision-making capacity, that goes a very long way. And so that's what I would say when it comes to HR and recruitment. When we're talking about operations teams within hospice organizations, you know, a huge issue that I see within the industry is a lack of accurate data when it comes to demographic information. That's something that, you know, in most of our electronic medical records, you can, you know, put other, you know, for race, for gender, for all of these things, if you just want to quickly go through it and get the patient, you know, admitted. And I totally understand that everyone has so much going on. However, having access to that accurate data is a huge benefit to the organization. How can you know who you're missing if you don't know who you're serving? And so making sure that teams are feeling comfortable while they are doing the whole admissions process with asking those questions, whether it's about your demographic information, but also the social determinants of health. If we talk about quality in our care, then really understanding what may be those determinants that are negatively impacting the patient's health or their experience, and how can we as a hospice organization, as a home health organization, address those needs as well? Because we all know that health is about more than what we typically see in a chart. And there are more things that we have to take into consideration. And so when we're talking about closing those gaps and building trust with our communities that we are hoping to serve, it's important that we know who they are, who we're serving, but also really understand what their needs are so that we can best meet them and help them, right? And help their families. Because that's what it's about in this line of business.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, with our clinicians, being able to ask the right questions when you're at the bedside so that you really understand the patient's cultural needs. The patient is about more than just what their diagnosis or their prognosis is. And so really being able to understand everything that is important to them and what have their healthcare experiences been like? Have they had negative experiences in healthcare or positive experiences in healthcare that are important to them so that we can either make sure that we do not repeat any mistakes or any negative experiences that they've had in the past, any discriminatory behavior that they may have experienced in the past with the healthcare system. And we can chart that and note it and share it with our teams and make sure, hey, we don't want to do the same thing. We don't want this patient to have that same experience. Or if there was something that stuck out to them and it was extremely important and positive, then we want to share that as well so that we can make sure that we are mirroring that behavior that they perceive as something that really added to their quality of life. And so making sure that we are really taking the time. And again, I know it's challenging. Everyone has high caseloads. Staffing is a challenge all across the industry right now. But taking a few moments to just ask those very important questions and documenting it goes such a long way. And it may not always be the questions that are, you know, our typical medical questions, but making sure that we are really understanding those social determinants of health, but also any additional needs that a patient may have as well. And understanding who they are as an individual, what traditions they have.
Right, what's their story? You have to learn
Right,
their
what is their
story.
story?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't want to talk your ear off, Jennifer, but
No,
you know, those are just a few.
these are great. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I was hoping you were gonna talk about today, and every one of them is so important. You know, I really feel like an organization who makes that commitment to quality, this is a part of the commitment, is looking at what all the aspects, including health equity, including access, all of those are part of your quality strategy in your organization. If you say you're gonna serve Bluebell County, right, you have to serve everybody in Bluebell County. You know,
Right.
it's not just who you choose to serve. It's everybody ha should have an equal access to the services if they have a need for them. And you said that so beautifully. And I love that you brought in the piece of representation as board members and staff members. All of that is really important in order to make a diverse organization that can truly serve everybody in their community. You know, it's a there's a balance between the two, I feel, for sure.
Thanks, Jennifer. And if I can add one more thing to that,
Absolutely.
while I'm thinking about it, you know, going back to the HR and recruitment piece, when it comes to closing those gaps, I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on it, knowing that, you know, a lot has happened over the past week, in our country. And I'm not going to get political, but I will say that, you know, our HR teams and leadership teams, as we are working to recruit diverse employees, also making sure that you have the support and communication that is happening for your diverse employees as well, and all employees in general. Because when we have big events happen in our country that are sad and disappointing, and I'm referring to acts of violence, you know, it's important that you realize that your employees, Yes, they are going to the bedside. Yes, we need them to serve patients, but also making sure that we are checking in, you know. And so when we talk about closing the gaps of care, it's also to in order to meet every patient where they are. A lot of that also has to come from meeting your staff where they are as well. And sometimes it is hard to get to the bedside and pour your all into someone else when you are struggling yourself because you're not feeling as valued in the moment. So I just had to make sure that I added
No,
that piece.
that's a huge point, and thank you for wrapping that in. So I'm going to circle around back to CMS and just mention to our listeners that, CMS is continuing to embed opportunities for what they call request for information. They're embedding those in all of the payment rules that come out. We saw that happen last year, and the hospice payment rule in proposed format has posted. And again, there's a huge section in that proposed rule where CMS is asking for feedback. So I would encourage everybody, when CMS asks, please take the time and the effort to respond back to them, because they actually are looking at what the comments are, and they want to hear from you. They wouldn't be asking if they didn't want to hear from you. So huge opportunity. Please don't miss out on it. We'll probably see that happen in all the rules again that are posted this year. So in addition to taking some great points from Nicole away from today's chat about how you can up your quality with embedding health equity into your organizational strategy, please plan on to look at what rule applies to you, home health, hospice, etc., and plan to provide comments back to CMS. So, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on the Chapcast today. This was a huge, huge plus in terms of a topic. And I'm thinking we're probably going to revisit it again down the line. So I would love to chat with you again somewhere in the future about leveraging health equity into your organizational strategy. So thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to all of you listening out there for taking the time out of your day to plug into our podcast. And hopefully, you are taking away a pearl of wisdom from this discussion today from Nicole McCann Davis. So, thanks again. Stay safe and well. And thank you for all you do.